Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We often talk about the offices of Christ, and this passage in particular focuses on his priestly office. There's a lot that's packed into these few verses that I hope to unfold for you all today, because, frankly, Christ's priesthood isn't as simple and straightforward as his other offices, such as his kingship, at least to our modern minds. The divine mystery might be summed up in the words of the well-known hymn where we sing, "Himself the victim and himself the priest." There are two parts, they're each serving a different function, and Hebrews begins to show us what it means for Christ to be both the victim and the priest. As the sacrificial lamb, Christ is our substitute, but as high priest, Christ becomes our representative too. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that the substitutionary atonement is a significant part of our faith, to put it mildly. And it's not wrong to talk about Christ our priest in terms of his sacrifice of himself. The author of Hebrews even brings this aspect of Jesus' high priesthood into the equation when he says that every high priest is appointed by God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. And it's a good thing, too. All of us here in this seminary community should recognize that sin is a problem. You and I sin every day. We succumb to the temptation to gossip about a classmate or colleague. We deal with the anger that is felt towards another student. We let slip an unkind word said to a spouse or a friend. We recognize the self-serving pride when getting compliments from our RFE congregations, and I don't know, maybe you've cheated your way through a difficult assignment, which I don't think I need to tell you is both lying and stealing. Perhaps you've been vindictive in grading an assignment, professors, and I'm sure that all of you know what else you might be guilty of. Sins that are too numerous to mention. And what's the result? The result is that we cannot stand before a holy God. We cannot come into his presence. With sins like what we have, we shouldn't even be able to come into this chapel. How can we pray to him and expect to be heard? How can we worship him and expect him to acknowledge us or to accept our praises? God should wipe us out. He should strike us down where we stand. He should smite us for defiling his holy house with our sinful selves. And that is why we need a substitute. We need a sacrifice, an atonement offered for us. And Christ, as our high priest, offers himself to be our substitute. He came and offered to God prayers and supplications with loud tears. He offered even himself. And because of this, because of his suffering on the cross, we have received forgiveness. Our sin is covered. Christ died as our substitute so that we would not have to pay the penalty. But there's something missing if we stop there. Because a priest didn't just sacrifice an animal and then walk away. If the animal dies and remains outside the city, the sacrifice is not complete. You could turn to Leviticus 16 and see what else needs to happen. The priest needs to take the blood before God, coming into his presence. The priest needs to act as the representative of the people before God, and it might seem obvious, but the priest can't act as the people's representative if he's dead. I'll say it again. Our high priest can't bring the people of God into his presence if he's dead. If Christ is the sacrificial victim only, the sacrifice is incomplete. If the sacrifice is incomplete, then our sins remain. If the sacrifice is incomplete, then we still can't come into God's presence. If the sacrifice is incomplete, then we are lost, and our prayers and our pleas will never reach God's ears. So Christ must also be the living priest who acts as our representative to bring us into God's presence. So this is the part of the sermon where I insert a joke that only seminarians would laugh at about how the lectionary committee should have saved this passage for Easter season instead of Lent, because Christ as our high priest is all about Easter. Christ is our high priest. He sacrificed himself, yes, but then God appointed him high priest by raising him from the dead so that he could come before God to make full atonement for us. Now he's really doing the work that a high priest does. Our passage says that work is to act on behalf of men in relation to God. And so he deals gently with us, ignorant and wayward though we are, because he himself has experienced our weakness and frailty. And he is now the source of our salvation, because he has gone into the presence of God to be our representative. And because of this, because our living high priest stands before God, we also can come into God's presence. We are invited in as people who have been made clean. We are now people whose sins have been fully atoned for. The sacrifice is complete. The high priest stands before God on our behalf and invites us to praise and worship God in his presence. And so we can stand here in this chapel and pray to God, knowing that we will be heard, knowing that he will acknowledge us, knowing that he will not wipe us away, strike us down, or smite us, because we have been made pure by the sacrifice that Christ has made and offered to him when he suffered as our substitute and rose as our representative. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who is our risen Lord. Amen. Please rise.